after me.
The personality of religion said,
these
words,
were
spoken by you,
spoken by you.
A person of the Pandava dynasty.
Bitter person of the Pandava dynasty.
Activated by the devotional qualities of the Pandavas,
even Lord Krishna,
the personality of Godhead,
performed
duties as a messenger. By his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada.
Maharaj, could you just...
The assurances and challenges made by Maharaj Parikrama of his real power. The Maharaj said that even the denizens of heaven could not escape his stringent government if they were violators of religious principles. He was not falsely proud, for a devotee of the Lord is equally as powerful as the Lord, or sometimes more powerful by his grace. And any promise made by a devotee, though it may be ordinarily very difficult to fulfill, is properly executed by the grace of the Lord. The Pandavas, by their unalloyed devotional service and full surrender unto the Lord, made it possible for the Lord to become a chariot driver or sometimes their letter messenger. Such duties executed by the Lord for his devotee are always very pleasing to the Lord, because the Lord wants to render service to his unalloyed devotees whose life has no other engagement than to serve the Lord with full love and devotion. Maharaj Parikshit, grandson of Arjun, the celebrated friendly servitor of the Lord, was a pure devotee of the Lord like his grandfather. And therefore, the Lord was always with him, even from the time when he was helpless lying in the womb of his mother and was attacked by the blazing Brahmastra weapon of Ashwatthama. A devotee is always under the protection of the Lord, and therefore the assurance and protection by Maharaj Parikshit could never be without meaning. The personality of religion accepted this fact and thus thanked the king for his being true to his exalted position. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militangena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtang Sthapitang Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Dharma Uvacha Etad Ba Pandaveyanam Yuktam Artha Bhayam Vachah Yesham Guna Ganai Krishna Dottvado Bhagavan Kritah. The personality of religion said, these words just spoken by you befit a person of the Pandava dynasty. Captivated by the devotional qualities of the Pandavas, even Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, performed duties as a messenger. So, Parikshit Maharaj, in course of supervising the affairs of his kingdom, while traveling, he came across this terrible sight where he saw that a Sudra dressed like a king was torturing a bull and a cow. The cow was in a pitiable condition, being tortured and beaten by this rogue, was dressed like a king, but actually he was a Sudra. And the bull had his three legs already broken, and he was barely standing on one leg. And this rogue dressed as a king, was even trying to break his fourth leg. So seeing that, Parikshit Maharaj became extremely furious. He couldn't tolerate such a sight, that a cow and a bull are being tortured in his kingdom. So this cow actually is Mother Earth, and this bull is Dharma. And the personality who was torturing them was Kali personified. Kali is actually a person who is the ruler of this age. The father and mother of Kali are anger and envy. The anger and envy, they're also personalities. Anger and envy gave birth to Kali, a personality. And Kali's business is to eliminate Dharma, eliminate the religious principles, and establish Adharma. Therefore, another name of Kali is Adharma Bandhu, a friend of Adharma. Krishna comes to establish Dharma, and Kali comes to establish Adharma. And he does by breaking the legs of Dharma. Dharma has already lost his three legs. In Satya Yuga, at the end of Satya Yuga, he lost his first leg. At the end of Treta Yuga, he lost his second leg. And at the end of Dwapar Yuga, he lost his third leg. Respectively, austerity, mercy, and cleanliness. These three legs of Dharma are broken. Dharma is just standing on one leg, truthfulness. And Kali is trying to destroy that also. And when that happens, Dharma will be completely lost, as it has happened. We are seeing in this age, Dharma is lost. No one is interested in practicing the religious principles. The purpose of religious principles is to establish the rules of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in the age of Kali, people have totally rejected the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, when Kali Yuga began when Krishna left the planet, Pandavas retired from the kingdom and left for the final departure, where they started to walk towards the Himalayas. All Yudhishthira Maharaj decided to do that. And the other four brothers also thought that, yes, we'll also follow him. And then Draupadi also followed as a chaste wife. So six of them started to walk. They just kept on walking and walking without eating, without sleeping, without drinking. The objective was to give up the body just in this way. It's called Mahaprasthan. Maha means great and Prasthan means departure. The great departure. And in this way, one after another, they left their bodies. Finally, Yudhishthira Maharaj reached Badarikashram, that region. And Bhima fell near that area. And at that time, a chariot came from the heaven to take Yudhishthira Maharaj. It's a very interesting anecdote. At that time, when they were going in Mahaprasthan, then a dog also was following them. And the chariot came, Bhima fell, Yudhishthira Maharaj now is alone. A chariot came from the heavenly planet. And tell that, look, we came to take you to the heavenly planet. So Yudhishthira Maharaj said, okay, if you want to do that, then this dog is faithfully following me, so I will also take him with you, or take him with me. But the attendants from the heavenly planets, the messenger from the heavenly planet said that in the heavenly planet there is no room for a dog. So then Yudhishthira Maharaj said, then I'm not going to go. Here is my faithful follower. He is following me all along. So how can I leave him and go to heaven? I would rather not go to heaven. So this is the character of an ideal leader. And who was the dog? The dog was Dharmaraj himself. Dharma himself, personified, Jamraj, came in the form of a dog just to check, just to test Yudhishthira Maharaj. So in this way, in the Vedic scriptures, time and time again, we get the qualities of an ideal leader. The ideal leader is prepared to do anything for the sake of his followers. Especially the Kshatriyas. So Brahmanas also, they will do anything for the sake of their dependents. But Brahmanas are situated in knowledge. Their main business is to deal with knowledge. And they'll impart knowledge and make arrangements for their followers to receive knowledge properly and act according to those instructions. But a Kshatriya's business is to give protection. Kshata trayate iti Kshatriya. Kshat means injury. And trayate means protect. The ones, those who give protection to his subordinates, to his followers, is a Kshatriya. That's the duty of a Kshatriya. Brahmana's business is to impart knowledge, study and impart knowledge. Patan, patan. Jajan, jajan, dan, pratigraha. So these are the activities of a brahmana. But a kshatriya's business is to give protection and give protection to his subordinates, to his followers. And here we are seeing in the previous three verses, Parikshit Maharaj is giving, in telling dharma, what is his responsibility? What is his business? He is saying, whoever causes offenseless living beings to suffer must fear me anywhere and everywhere in the world. By curbing dishonest miscreants, one automatically benefits the offenseless. So that is the business of a Kshatriya. He gives protection to the saintly personalities, Paritranaya Sadhunam, as Krishna also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, and Vinashaya Chadushrita, to annihilate the miscreants. So Kshatriyas in that way are merciless. When it comes to dealing with the miscreants, no merciless, no mercy, zero tolerance. And then he is saying that an upstart living being who commits offenses by torturing those who are offenseless shall be directly uprooted by me, even though he be a denizen of heaven with armor and decorations. So even the demigods are not spared from this activity of the Kshatriya. This powerful, these kings in the early days were so powerful. Because they were representing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they were empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore they were fearless. They would deal with anybody. Whoever would break the law of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whoever would torture a devotee, a warrior Kshatriya, an ideal Kshatriya will not tolerate. Even if it is the denizens of heaven. The denizens of heavens are very powerful individuals, but Kshatriyas being empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead were even more powerful than the demigods. There are descriptions like that, descriptions of that, like when Ugrasen decided to perform Rajasuya Yajna, then Pradyumna went to defeat all the kings around the world and bring them up under the subjugation of Maharaj Ugrasen. And in course of that, he had to deal with Kuvera. And he had to deal with Indra. And he defeated them. So this is the demonstration of the power of a Kshatriya. Even if he had to deal with the demigods, he's not hesitant to do that. He is simply situated on the path of Dharma. He knows what is right, what is wrong. And even if a demigod is on the wrong side, even a demigod becomes a miscreant, then he will deal with him. And so that's how he is actually seeing that. Who is this personality who dares to torture an offenseless, innocent cow and a bull in my kingdom? And Parikshit Maharaj finally tells Dharma, the supreme duty of the ruling king is to give protections to law-abiding persons and to chastise those who stray from the ordinances of the scriptures in ordinary times when there is no emergency. So Dharma appreciated that statement, and he said that, I know, the word of a devotee will never go in vain. The assurance that you are giving me, I know, is going to be fulfilled. The personality of religion said, those words just spoken by you befit a person of the Pandava dynasty. So the Pandava dynasty is an illustrious dynasty. Had many, many illustrious kings decorated that dynasty. And recently, when Krishna personally came in the dynasty, appeared the five brothers, and especially Arjun. And Arjun was a friend of Krishna. And captivated by the devotional qualities of the Pandava, even Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, performed duties as a messenger. So Krishna was naturally attached to the Pandavas, not only because they were his cousins, but because they were devotees. And it's a very wonderful relationship. Although they were cousins, but they didn't meet each other for many, many years. But they heard. They heard about Krishna's activities, and they knew. They have been told that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they naturally developed a deep attachment to him. The Pandavas first met Krishna at the Swayamvara of Draupadi. That means they were, by that time, they were almost 20, 25 years old. And they were wandering around after the Duryodhana's dubious plan to kill them in a house of shellac. And Vidura informed them, especially Vidura in a foreign language, most probably in English language, informed Yudhishthira Maharaj that this is what Duryodhana is planning to do, to burn them alive in the house of shellac. The beautiful palace where they have been invited in a place called Varanavat is actually a house of shellac, made out of shellac, not out of stones and bricks and cement. It's made of shellac. It looks beautiful, but all it needs is just one fire, little fire, and they ignite the house into ashes. And so Yudhishthira Maharaj was aware of what was going to happen. And Vidura also made arrangement for a tunnel digger to help them out. So when this tunnel was completed, they escaped through the tunnel. And before leaving that palace, they burned the palace. They set the palace in fire. And the minister of Duryodhan, who was actually doing that, who was the main person in that dubious plan of Duryodhan, his name was Purochan. Purochan got burnt. He actually was assigned with the duty to burn the Pandavas, but in course he himself got burnt. And Pandavas escaped. At that time, they were just young, just rich their youth. And everybody thought that the Pandavas died. And it so happened that aborigines woman with her five children came to the feast that the Pandavas organized the day before their departure. And they ate so much that they fell asleep and they couldn't move. And they got burnt. So next day when people came to look at the place, what happened, they found that there is the body of a woman and with five men, five boys. So they thought that Kunti and Pandava have been burnt. So everybody became convinced that. But few people knew that the Pandavas couldn't be burnt. Pandavas couldn't die. One of them was Vidura and the other was Drupad, the father of Draupadi. And Bhishma also had the doubt because he knew that the Pandavas were born from the demigods, so they couldn't be killed. So, and in the meantime, the Pandavas just kept on wandering around as disguised as brahmanas along with Kunti. And then they came to a place called Ekachakra. They lived there for some time. And in Ekachakra one day, they were staying in the house of a brahmana. So Vasudev came and told them, instructed them. Vasudev actually happens to be the grandfather of the Pandavas. Their father, Pandu, was born out of Vasudev. Anyway, I'm sure all of you know from the Mahabharata that history. And so Vasudev came and he instructed them that they should go to the wedding ceremony of Draupadi. Draupadi was the most beautiful princess of that time. And all the kings desired her. All the kings, all the princes of age. And headed by Duryodhan, Shalva, Shishupal, Dantavakra. These are all associates of Duryodhan, the miscreants, the demons. The demons actually took birth. And who is Duryodhan? Duryodhan is a personified Kali. Duryodhan is an incarnation of Kali, personified. And Kali's accomplices are these demons. So everyone went to this celebrated wedding ceremony. Draupadi is going to accept her husband. The Kshatriya princes had this privilege of selecting their own husband. And Draupadi was the condition that Drupad made that the person who would be able to hit the target that has been hung high up And below that, that target is actually a fish. And there was a disc rotating, revolving underneath, and that disc had one hole. And the arrow had to go through the hole and hit the target. And the archer was supposed to look down on a pool of water that is kept on a metal plate. Looking at down at the reflection of the rotating disc, he had to pass the arrow to hit the target. It's practically an impossible task. But Drupad knew that only Arjun could actually achieve such a feat. Another person who could do that was Karna. But when Karna came, then Draupadi rejected. He said that I'm not going to accept a son of a chariot driver, who is actually like a Sudra, the son of a chariot driver as my husband. So Karna was refused. And then when all the Kshatriyas failed to achieve that fit, then Drishtadyumna, Draupadi's brother, announced that since the Kshatriyas, none of the Kshatriyas could succeed in achieving that mission, let the Brahmanas give it a try. And Arjun stood up. But all the other Brahmanas became very upset with that. When the Kshatriyas have failed this Brahmana, how does he even dare to do such a thing, accept such a challenge? Maybe he has gone mad seeing the beautiful princess. Some other Brahmanas protested. He said, no. In the Brahmana, the Brahmanas are superior to the Kshatriyas. Don't forget that that Parashuram was a Brahmana. Dronacharya is a Brahmana. So some Brahmanas are expert archers. So they are even better than Kshatriyas. So at that time, so Arjun just walked to that arena, picked up the bow, strung the bow, fit the arrow onto it, and hit the target. And when that happened, and Draupadi offered the garland to Arjuna, all the other Kshatriyas became very, very upset. They became insulted. They felt that they started to rebel rouse, saying that Drupad inviting them into his palace have insulted them in this way. Therefore, they wanted to attack Drupad. And Drupad took shelter of the Brahmanas at that time. And Bhima pulled out a tree and broke the branches and the leaves, and he stood there with the tree in his hand, face all the Kshatriyas. And Arjun also stood, and they told Yudhishthira Maharaj to take Draupadi with safety. And in this way, just Bhima and Arjun stood up against the entire assembly of the Kshatriya kings with their soldiers. And at that time, Krishna was present in that assembly. So Krishna actually came and said, no, stop this. And this is the first time actually Pandavas met Krishna. But before that, they heard about Krishna and they developed their attachment to him. So this way we can see, to develop attachment to Krishna, we don't have to see him. We simply have to hear about. So Pandavas from the childhood had been hearing about Krishna, that they have such an illustrious cousin who who as a childhood killed so many demons. Then he killed Kamsa. Then he defeated all these kings. Especially Jarasandha, 17 times he came and attacked him with 23 Akshohini soldiers with him. Now, mind you, the Battle of Kurukshetra was fought with 7 Akshohini on the Pandava side and 11 Akshohini soldiers on the Kaurava side, 18 Akshohini soldiers. But prior to that, Jarasandha, 17 times he attacked Krishna and attacked Krishna in Mathura with 23 Akshohini. And each time Krishna wiped out all these 23 Akshohini soldiers, and he simply kept Jarasandha alive. And the reason it has been described is that Jarasandha was collecting all these soldiers, all the demons, on behalf of Krishna. He was actually his collector of the demons. He was collecting the demons on Krishna's behalf and bringing them to fight, and Krishna was killing them. So Krishna didn't have to go to different places to kill the demons. The demons were brought to him. So he was actually, Jarasandha was something like Krishna's employment agent. He brought the demons and employed them to be slaughtered by Krishna. So we can see how powerful Krishna was. And he fought with just a handful of soldiers, because the Mathura at that time did not have much of an army. And it was Krishna and Balaram practically fought, just two brothers, and killed them. Hundreds of thousands of soldiers, 17 times. And actually 18 times he attacked. And on the 18th time, Krishna ran away. Krishna ran away to kill Kalajavani. Krishna and Balaram climbed up on top of a mountain. It seemed like Krishna ran away. That's where another name of Krishna is Ranchor, like one who ran away from the battlefield. For a Kshatriya, it's a disgrace, but for Krishna, it's a glory. He is worshipped as Ranchorji, the Lord who ran away from the battlefield. So Krishna ran away, apparently, and they went onto a mountain. So Jarasandha thought that they are in the mountain. He looked around, couldn't find Krishna. So he set the whole mountain into fire, thinking of killing them. But Krishna and Balaram, from top of the mountain, they jumped. And then they transferred the kingdom. Now, in the meantime, they actually transferred the kingdom from Mathura to Dwarka. And they went to Dwarka. So that is the reason Krishna went to Dwarka, to avoid any more attack from Jarasandha. These are all Krishna's pastimes. And this way we can see that Jarasandha was also Krishna's agent. Although he is playing the role of a demon, but he is also Krishna's agent. In his business to kill the demons, Jarasandha is assisting Krishna. Anyway, so Pandavas heard about the glorious activities of Krishna, and they were proud that we have a cousin like that. And Krishna also heard about the Pandavas. And this is how they became attached to each other. And in that assembly, Krishna actually pleaded that, why are you fighting like this? He has rightfully gained this kingdom, this princess. Why don't you admit your inability? None of you have succeeded in hit the target. And this Brahmana has done that.
And Krishna, although addressing them as a Brahmana, Krishna knew. Of course, Krishna knows everything. He is the all-cognizant Supreme Personality of Godhead. But apparently in that past times, Krishna felt that this must be Arjuna. And he also believed that the Pandavas did not die. So, and this is how they first met each other. And from that time onwards, they became very, very close friends, especially Arjuna and Krishna. And so here, Dharma is telling that the Supreme Personality of Godhead was the intimate friend and associate of your grandfather, Arjuna. And you belong to the same dynasty. Therefore, the assurance that you are giving is befitting you as a member, as a worthy member of that illustrious dynasty. And I know that what you are assuring must be true because the Supreme Personality of Godhead makes it a point that his devotees' words never go in vain. Since you are a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord must fulfill your promises. So in this way, Dharma addressed Parikshit Maharaj. And Parikshit Maharaj, true to his words, he did that. But ultimately he considered that the age of Kali has one great advantage. Although it is the most degraded of all times, Kaler Doshe Nidhe Rajan, it's an ocean of sinful activity. But this age has one, Asti Hi Eka Mahan Guna, has one great advantage, has great quality. And that is Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Vraja. Just by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one becomes free from the material bondage. So going back to the spiritual sky, going back to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is very easy in this age. That's why, although Kali Yuga is considered to be the worst of all ages, but at the same time, it has also been considered to be the best of all ages. Because the benefit that one gets in this age is unique. In no other time, a living entity receives such wonderful benefit. The benefit of becoming free, practically becoming free from the material bondage, which is actually the goal of life. The goal of life is to become free from the material bondage and go back to Godhead. And in the age of Kali, this mission has become so easily achievable. In Satya Yuga, one used to derive that benefit by perfecting himself in the process of meditation. Ashtanga Yoga. A very, very difficult process. Practically separating the soul from the body. Becoming completely free from the influence of the body or the effects of the body and the senses. The soul is to become made free. And the soul ultimately used to perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the core of his heart. Withdrawing his senses completely, it is to be projected through meditation onto the Lord in the heart. And the ultimate perfection of that process was seeing the Lord in the heart. And when one used to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the heart in this way, then he used to surrender. And that's how devotion used to begin in Satya Yuga. By achieving the perfection of meditation, one used to perceive the Lord in the heart, and thus one used to become surrendered to the Lord and become a devotee of the Lord. In Treta Yuga, living entities lost that ability. Therefore, in Treta Yuga, the process was simplified further, or simplified to some extent. And the process is sacrifice. Offer everything for the pleasure of the Lord. Sacrifice. And as a result of that, ultimately, through this sacrificial fire, the Lord used to appear. And he used to grant the desires of those who are participating in the sacrifice. Or in that time, one used to get the opportunity to see the Lord and surrender unto him. In Dwapar Yuga, people lost that ability also. So now the process is to worship the Lord in the temple. And by worshipping the Lord, one used to develop this attitude of surrender to him and becoming engaged in the service for his pleasure. They used to achieve the perfection. But in Kali Yuga, people lost the ability to even worship the Lord in the temple and achieve perfection. Rather, they, in the age of Kali, people have completely rejected the Lord. Adharma has become prevalent so badly. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and gave a process which is so simple. That just by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one doesn't even have to go to the temple to worship the Lord. Just by chanting, wherever one is, at home, at school, at college, at office, at park, wherever one may be, but just by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one will achieve the ultimate perfection. And the process is sankirtan, congregational chanting. Chant the holy name of the Lord collectively. And that will ward off the influence of Kali. As far as the sound vibration will go, to that extent, the atmosphere will become purified. In one hand, it is an ocean of sinful activities. But by chanting, those sinful reactions will be eradicated. Such a simple process. There is no need to go to the temple. Not that no need to go to the temple. But those who will not go to the temple, they will also derive the benefit. One way, the Lord in this age has come down on the street, Lord Jagannath. That's why Prabhupada was so emphatic about Rath Yatra festival. The Lord has come, will come down. Okay, you won't go to the temple. I'll come down and give you my darshan. So on the road, the Lord appears. Therefore, in the age of Kali, it has been described in Chaitanya Bhagavat that the streets, the roads are actually the temples in this age. Why? Because on the road, the holy name will be chanted congregationally. Nagar Sankirtan. Go out and chant the holy name of the Lord on the streets where people are. And somehow this holy name will enter through their ears. And how it will affect them, that is up to Krishna. Our business, the devotee's business, is to just go out and chant. Invite everybody to chant. Those who are fortunate will join, will participate in this congregational chanting. And those who will not even join, they'll also derive the benefit just by hearing the holy name. Somehow it will enter through the passage of their ears and entering into the region of their heart. Holy name will spread his influence. And in this way people will become affected by the divine arrangement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this very, very degraded and fallen age of Kali. Therefore, Kali Yuga is the best. And Srimad Bhagavatam has reminded that to us time and time again. And here we are seeing how Parikshit Maharaj is chastising Kali. We will come to that point. Parikshit Maharaj wanted to kill Kali, pulled out his sword, and he was about to slaughter him. But Kali begged for life. Now, when somebody begs a Kshatriya for life, to spare his life, then Kshatriya, as a generous ruler, he grants that. Generally, a Kshatriya will never beg for his life. He'll fight till death. But because this personality's mentality is like that of a Sudra, Kali is a person, is an ideal Sudra. His behavior is just like a Sudra. He said, please forgive me, please forgive me. But then Parikshit Maharaj forgives, but Kali then tries to kill Parikshit Maharaj. This is how a low-class person acts. No consideration, no feeling of gratitude. That here is a person who saved, who gave me my life. So I should be grateful to him. But no. Eventually we will see how Kali actually got rid of Parikshit Maharaj through the Brahmana boy, Sringi. He made Sringi to curse Parikshit Maharaj. He could not get rid of Parikshit Maharaj. So in a dubious way, a surreptitious way, he actually, using the Brahmana boy, Sringi, got rid of Parikshit Maharaj. So this is the nature of a Sudra, low class. So, Srimad Bhagavatam perfectly demonstrates the nature of a high-class person and the nature of a low-class person. Anyway, we are fortunate that in spite of being the lowest class ourselves, we have received the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. We used to be the perfect samples of Kali Yuga individuals. But Srila Prabhupada came and distributed the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and somehow or other we have been saved by his divine grace. And now it is our responsibility to distribute this mercy to others, create the good fortune all over the world. Not saving ourselves is not the goal of life. A devotee's goal, especially Mahaprabhu's followers' goal of life, is to deliver others. Yes, it is important that we take care of our spiritual life by chanting 16 rounds, following the four regulative principles, rendering devotional service, reading Srila Prabhupada's books, and preaching. The most important consideration, I mean, this is 50%. The other 50% is to give out and distribute this Krishna consciousness to others. Sankirtan needs distribution of mercy. To take part in Sankirtan means we have to go out and distribute the mercy to others. So many people in this age, practically everybody in this age is suffering. So we have to go out and deliver them. And the process of this deliverance is very simple. Just give them, encourage them to chant the holy name, understanding that this name is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the best way to receive his mercy is by chanting his holy name and giving this holy name to others, inspiring others to chant the holy name. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have a question? Yes, Suresh Prabhu.
Maharaj, I'll try to speak up a little mic. The question is...
Can everybody hear the question?
I can hear.
Yes. Okay. So Suresh Prabhu was wondering whether you could hear him. Yeah.
Okay. Ramananda, can you hear me?
Yes, they can hear.
Okay. The question is, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the third chapter, Krishna says he acts in an exemplary way so that people can be led on the right path. And yet, as Maharaj reminded us this morning, sometimes he acts in a very independent way, like when he's Ranchor running away from the battle or kidnapping a princess. So
that's all right.
So how to
kidnapping a princess for a kshatriya is all right.
But how to reconcile the tension between Krishna acting in an exemplary way and Krishna acting in an independent way? How will people know which Krishna to follow? They might try to imitate him.
Very good point. Therefore, Prabhupada said, don't follow Krishna. Don't imitate Krishna's activities. Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna is the Lila Purushottam. He's performing his pastimes. So those pastimes are unique. And those pastimes only Krishna can perform. Only Krishna can enact. We cannot. If we have to follow, we can follow Lord Ramchandra. He's the Marjada Purushottam. Right? Krishna is dancing with 16,000 gopis who are not even married to him. And Ramchandra would not accept more than one wife. And that wife also he banished when people express some doubts about her character. And if we have to follow, then we have to follow the Lord as a devotee, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Otherwise, our business is not to imitate the activities of the Lord. We simply have to follow his instructions. And if we want to follow him, yeah. Like if we want to become a kshatriya ruler, ideal personality to follow is Lord Ramchandra.
So Mahaprabhu recommends.
And for us, the personality that we should, and if we want to imitate God, let's imitate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The perfect example to follow.
Mahaprabhu is our access.
Yeah, and through by following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we approach Krishna. And our business to Krishna is to render service unto him. And Krishna very mercifully in Vrindavan pastimes, in Vrindavan, allowing his devotees to become his friend, his father, mother, or his beloved, lover. So he is giving this prerogative in Vrindavan. That's why Vrindavan pastimes are so unique. Otherwise, Krishna is simply to be served in the mood of a servant. But in Vrindavan, he is allowing us to become his friend and his father and mother.
I have a question.
Yes. Maybe you can come here, otherwise they won't be able to hear you.
Can Maharaj?
Yeah, just a moment. There is one question from Bhagavat Prasad Prabhu.
When the Pandavas first met Krishna, didn't they know that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead? They're eternal associates.
Yeah, they knew. Because from when they heard about Krishna, they recognized him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then again, we can see that when Krishna is telling Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, Arjuna displayed some doubt. Like when Krishna told that I imparted this knowledge first to Vivashvan, the sun god. Then Arjuna's response to that was that aparang bhavato janma parang janma vivashvata katham etad vijaniyam tamadu praktamad. You are born just the other day. And Vivashvan was born so many millions of years ago. Now how can I understand that you imparted that knowledge to him? So Arjuna actually expressed his doubt, but we have to understand that this is simply pastimes, and Krishna momentarily bewildered Arjuna. Arjuna failed to recognize him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Prabhupada said that Krishna, Arjuna always knew that Krishna is the Supreme Personality.
Draupadi is also eternal associate.
Yeah, Draupadi is also Krishna's eternal associate.
So they're all covered.
They're just playing a role. Like, on a stage, a drama is being enacted, and different actors are playing their roles. And those who are observing, to them it seems it's real, but actually they all are playing playing the role. Lord's pastimes is something like that, a kind of a drama. He's enacting those dramas along with his associates in order to teach us certain lessons.
Krishna also eternal associate?
You see, like when a king organizes a drama, who plays along with him? Right? His own associates play the role.
I was just wondering how many.
But our business is to kind of take it as real. That Arjun is a devotee, Karna is playing the role of a villain, so to say. Although endowed with so many good qualities. But he's a villain because he didn't surrender to Krishna. He didn't accept Krishna. So that is the lesson we learn.
What he's talking about.
Through the drama, we learn the lesson or the importance to become a devotee of Krishna and not to ever go against Krishna. Mm-hmm. That is the final lesson that we learn. Yes, yes, Vikash?
I don't know, do we have
time? Yeah, okay. Ramananda Prabhu, do we have time to go for some more question answers?
Maharaj, we are your servants. We do have questions here from our side, but we're
patiently
waiting.
Okay, so I will get into that. I will just take this question from our assembly here. This is Vikash. Vikash is from Southern California. He's just visiting here.
Maharaj, I'm trying to understand, what is the purpose of Kali? You mentioned like Jarasandh is, you know, in a way acting as an employment agent, you know, assembling all the miscreants and getting annihilated by Krishna. So in some way, is Kali also acting as an employment agent?
Okay, very good,
Krishna?
Very good. yes, you see, it is in course of time that things deteriorate. Like, people become more and more sinful. In Satya Yuga, people were all pious. In Treta Yuga, they became somewhat sinful. In Dwapar Yuga, they became even more sinful. And in Kali Yuga, they became absolutely sinful. So to deal with the absolutely sinful people, Kali is there. It is his assignment. That in this age when it will be, the whole world will be filled with absolutely sinful people, you have to take care of them. So in one hand, these absolutely sinful people are coming. And at the same time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming, to especially in this Kali Yuga, once in the day of Brahma, during the Vaivasvata Manantara, the 28th Kali Yuga is a very special one. Because in this one, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself comes as Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and distributes Krishna prema after he performs his Braja Leela in Dwapar Yuga. So if the situation was not as it is today, as it is now, by the arrangement of time, influenced by or arranged by Kali Yuga, incorporated by Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wouldn't have come. Right? And Krishna wouldn't have come in the Dwapar Yuga, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wouldn't come in the following Kali Yuga. And now that they have come, they have created an inconceivable good fortune for everyone. Yes, Ramananda Prabhu, I can take the questions now.
Well, we have a lineup here.
can I jump in here?
Go ahead.
Maharaj, the story of the Pandava Mahaprasthanam to Swarga Indraloka reminds me of a question I've had for many years. Srila Prabhupada and Krishna in Bhagavad Gita have given us a clear distinction between the heavenly planets and the spiritual world, Arbhama Bhuvana Loka. In the line of Mahaprabhu and Srila Rupa Goswami, we have been encouraged by Srila Prabhupada to engage in pure devotional service directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead so that we will realize our spiritual form and rati to serve Krishna eternally in Goloka. but we hear that Yudhisthira attained heaven in his earthly body, and the Pandavas went to heaven, which was even attained by Duryodhana and the Kurus, who died in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Even in the Ramayana, Rishi, Sabari, even liberated demons ascend to heaven in the presence of Ram. Meanwhile, we hear pure devotees refuse to accept even the five different types of liberation, even to Vaikuntha, in order to be engaged in the service of Lord. So how are we to understand the Pandavas who were even served by Lord Krishna?
Very wonderful. Okay, the question is, what's your name, Prabhu?
Vidagdha Madhava.
Oh, Vidagdha Madhava Prabhu's question. That, you see, Prabhupada is saying that the ultimate goal of life is to go to the spiritual sky, not to achieve the heavenly planets. The heavenly planets are a part of the material nature. Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punarava. So why do we see that here Yudhishthira Maharaj is going to heavenly planets? Very nice question, Vidagdha Madhava Prabhu. So here the thing is, if we go deeper, then we'll see Yudhishthira Maharaj refused to go to heavenly planet because he wouldn't go there unless the dog was allowed to go with him. And so that is the first consideration. Second consideration is, when he went there and he found that the Pandavas were not there, then he didn't want to stay in the heavenly planet. He saw it. And of course, this Mahabharata, actually, we have to understand, is a karma kanda, is promoting karma kanda or establishing karma kanda. Is not Mahabharata is not establishing your devotional service to the Lord. And especially also, there are two Mahabharats. One is Mahabharata by Vaishampayan, spoken by Vaishampayan, and another is by Jaimini. So this Mahabharata is actually Vaishampayan's Mahabharata, which is actually promoting Karmakanda section of the Vedas. It's not really promoting pure devotion. And Jaimini's thing is more inclined to devotional service. But unfortunately, Jaimini's Mahabharata is practically is missing. I found only one or two chapters from Jaimini's Mahabharata. The whole book is missing. But in Brihad Bhagavatam, Sanatana Goswami is mentioning about Jaimini's Mahabharata. Anyway, so here the point is, for Karmakandas, those Karmakandis, those who are interested in that, you know, they think that goal of life is to go to the heavenly planet. And that's why in Ramayana and Mahabharata, we find that all this endeavor is to be elevated to the heavenly planets, and very little information about the spiritual sky. In bits and pieces, this kind of information is given. Like one sage in Ramayana is described, one sage was performing austerities, and then the chariot came from the heavenly planet. So he asked, what is there in heavenly planet? Please tell me, what's the advantage and what's the disadvantage? So he told him, first he was told about the advantages. And then he was told about the disadvantage. The disadvantage is that with your piety, you go to the heavenly planets, and when the piety gets exhausted, then you again come back to the earth planet. So then his answer was, like, if I again have to come back to the earth planet, then why go there at all? So in this way, you see, in a subtle way, it has been reminded that that is not the goal of life. Going to elevation to the heavenly planet is not the goal of life. And the goal of life is actually pure devotional service to the Lord. But they haven't been so prominently, so purely presented in Ramayana and also in Mahabharata. But in Mahabharata we see, Vaishampayana's Mahabharata is describing, when Yudhishthira Maharaj was asked, where are my brothers? And he was told that they are in hell. And so he said, okay, then I'll also go to hell. Now, Yudhishthira Maharaj goes to hell, and that understanding from that Mahabharata is that Yudhishthir Maharaj had to go to hell because he told a lie when he said Ashwatthama is dead to Dronacharya. He lied. That's the only time that he spoke the lie. But our understanding is Yudhishthir Maharaj didn't lie. The elephant named Ashwatthama was killed, and he announced that the Ashwatthama, the elephant, has been killed. Although he may not sounded that elephant part of it so prominently. Actually, he did. Yeah, he did. When it was presented in Sanskrit, the structure would be like, Ashwatthama is dead, the elephant. But when he said the elephant, Krishna blew the conch shell. So nobody could hear that the elephant part of it. So we can see that Yudhishthira Maharaj didn't tell a lie. So why? So there is no consideration of Yudhishthira Maharaj ever telling a lie. But Prabhupada pointed out that Yudhishthira Maharaj's offense, if at all it was an offense, the offense actually was that he did not follow Krishna's instruction. Krishna told him to lie and he did not. So that was his defect. Anyway, if at all our understanding, Vaishnava understanding, Gaudiya Vaishnava understanding is that if at all Yudhishthira Maharaj went to hell, he went there, if at all Pandavas along with Yudhishthira Maharaj went to hell, it was to purify hell. Just by giving their darshan, they benefited the denizens of hellish planets. So that is their purpose of going to the hell. So does it answer your question?
Well, the Karmakanda section, that the Mahabharata is dealing in Karmakanda, but Yudhishthira, he's a devotee, he's an elevated devotee. So what's his interest in going to heaven?
Interest, well, since the chariot came to take him, he said, okay, fine, if my brothers are there, let me go there. Just like Arjun also went to heaven. Arjun went to heaven and Narad Muni came and reported that he saw Arjun sitting with Indra. So going to, just like it's not, there's no harm to go to America if it's necessary. So similarly, there's no harm for a devotee to go to even heavenly planet. So when one, this is, you see, like they came here, they're performing pastimes according to Krishna's plan. It is not that Yudhishthira Maharaj thought that the goal of life is to go to heaven. And the goal of life is to be with Krishna, be the servant of Krishna. And, you know, if his feeling is that, well, if my brothers are there, so let me also go there. It's not, so that's why, you see, Prabhupada pointed out that we should not depend upon Mahabharata. We should not take the instructions from Mahabharata. Very secretly, very mysteriously, Bhagavad Gita has been kept in Mahabharata, and that is the whole purpose of Mahabharata. So our business is to follow Bhagavad Gita. And if at all we read Mahabharata, just like when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, like it has to be studied under the very clear guidance of a bona fide teacher, bona fide guide like Srila Prabhupada, as it did in Krishna book, as it did in his book also.
Maharaj, we have at least three more questions. I don't know how much longer you.
I'm fine.
Okay, let me
ask more questions.
On behalf of Kartik Agarwal, he writes, please accept my humble obeisances, Guru Maharaj. Maharaj, you described Harinam is the only prescribed method in this age, but why we have deity worship and meditation like Gayatri Mantra in ISKCON? Since Harinam is enough, how can we understand the importance of deity worship meditation of Kali Yuga?
Okay, very good. And the question is that if Harinam is the process for the age of Kali, then why do we have the system of deity worship in the temple? The deity worship is established in this age also is to assist the Harinam and support the preaching. Like we are going out and telling, informing people about the Supreme Personality of Godhead to give them a more clear understanding who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is. We invite them into the temple and we show them the beautiful form of the deities, and we teach them how wonderfully the Supreme Personality of Godhead is being served by the devotees, and how they can also become engaged in serving that Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, you see, the deity worship is there not to achieve liberation or achieve the spiritual perfection through deity worship, but to get an understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to have the good fortune of seeing the beautiful transcendental Satchidananda Vigraha of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And also to have the facility to serve Him when it comes to serving Him. Because it is falling, you know, deity worship is one of the nine processes of devotional service, archanam. But the most important part is shravanam kirtanam. Yes, Ramananda Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I'm sorry, it takes a while to mute. Unmute sometimes.
Oh.
Okay, next question. We have one new devotee in our Sangha. He's online right now. He's in a Muslim country. He wants to be a Krishna Bhakta, but it's very dangerous, even if his relatives, or what to speak of his neighbors, find out that he's attracted to Krishna, he may be killed. So he's doing everything clandestine. And even like right now, he's listening on headphones. Is it better for him to simply chant Islamic names, remembering Krishna, or shall he try and chant Hare Krishna in his mind?
Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, this question is, there is a new devotee. He's from a Muslim country, and he runs the risk of, if anybody get to know that he is following Krishna consciousness, his life can be in danger. So his question is, should he chant the name of the Lord in their language? Yes, if the situation is so critical, then our understanding is Nam Nam Akari Bahudha. The Lord has many, many names. So why provoke some fanatics by acting in a provocative way? Like if they cannot tolerate the chanting of the holy name of the Lord as in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he can chant the name of Allah, he can chant the different names of the Lord that has been given in their scriptures, like Allah, Khuda, etc. And Prabhupada also, when he asked, when he was asked about translating Bhagavad Gita in Arabic, Prabhupada even told that devotee that instead of Bhagavan Ubacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, he can write as Allah said. So according to us, Allah is God. Allah is the name of Krishna. So the important thing is the sambandha gyan. He may say the word Allah, but through Allah, if he sees Krishna, then it is chanting the holy name. There's no difference. But of course, since Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it has its special potency. In this age, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra has a very special potency. Actually, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the Maha Mantra, the greatest of all mantras. So he should chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra silently, probably, not provoking, or quietly in a solitary place. And also the Muslims also have their beads in hands. They use beads while chanting the name of Allah. So I don't think anybody will object to his chanting on a bead. And he can chant, he can have a bead, and in front of public he can chant Allah Khuda, Allah Khuda. And in privately he can chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And then leave it up to Krishna. And just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had Haridas Thakur take birth in a Muslim family, Lord Brahma appeared in a Muslim family. So there must be a very special purpose for Haridas Thakur appearing in a Muslim family. So similarly, I'm sure that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has some very special plans for the Muslims and the Muslim propagation of Krishna consciousness in the Muslim countries. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. Do you have time for one last quick question?
Sure.
Okay, real quick. With your description about many pastimes, well, one, you were relating how when all the princes from all over the world were all competing for Draupadi in her Swayamvara, so they were all attracted to her beauty. In that very assembly, Krishna was there, yet the princes were not attracted to Krishna, the source of all beauty, the source of the beauty of Draupadi. Right. So in the same way, conditioned souls, we're all attracted to the material energy, which is nothing but emanation from Krishna. How is it possible that we are attracted to Krishna's energy, but we're not attracted to him?
Wonderful. Very nice. Very nice question. So the question from Ramananda Prabhu is that in that assembly, Draupadi Swayamvara assembly, the kings and princesses came from all over the world to compete to win her hand. But in that assembly, Krishna was there also. So how come they were not attracted to Krishna, who is the source of all beauty? Yeah. You see, the perceptions can be of two types. One is perception through the material senses, perception through the eyes, and another perception is the perception of the spirit soul through the spiritualized senses. So one will not be able to appreciate the beauty of Krishna with their mundane eyes, mundane senses, because the mundane senses can appreciate only the mundane object. But in order to perceive Krishna's beauty, we need to develop our spiritual vision. And that spiritual vision is when the vision becomes anointed with love for Krishna, premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. To see Krishna and to appreciate Krishna's beauty, we need a very special faculty. And that special faculty is love for Krishna. When we develop our love for Krishna, then with our eyes anointed with that love, we will be able to see Krishna all the time and appreciate his beauty. So, just one simple example in that respect. We go and see Jagannath in Jagannath Temple. Who do we see? We see an incomplete form. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was seeing Lord Jagannath. And tears were streaming down his eyes. So what was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seeing? What is the difference between our perception of Jagannath, our seeing of Lord Jagannath, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's seeing of Lord Jagannath? So this is how we have to see that the real appreciation of the beauty of the Lord will happen only when we develop our spiritual perception, which is love. Does it answer your question, Ramananda Prabhu?
It answers beyond my expectation.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Ramananda Prabhu. And I think the next class is on Thursday, yeah?
Maharaj, would you mind giving class on Friday? I had to kind of switch things around.
That'll be wonderful. Yeah. Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, may I ask a quick question?
Sure.
Thank you so much for giving class. Please accept my humble obeisances.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hi, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. I want to make sure I understood what you said. You said 50% of our devotional service is sadhana, chanting, deity worship, Mangal Arati, Guru Puja, like that. And the other half, the other 50% is preaching. And I was wondering if what you think of covert preaching, like talking about how nice it is to be a vegetarian or to have cows for pets, or just to talk about how wonderful God is.
The question is that you mentioned that 50% of our Krishna consciousness is practicing sadhana bhakti, chanting our rounds, reading Prabhupada's books, following the regular principle, etc. And the other 50% is to distribute Krishna consciousness. And she's asking, what about covert way of preaching? Like, not direct, but, you know, you're telling people about the importance of vegetarianism, importance of, you know, being submissive to God. So, yes, Mataji, yeah, that is also fine. Like, it is preaching. You see, what I actually meant is that by this sadhana bhakti, we are taking care of our spiritual life individually, but we are actually taking care of other spiritual life. And in Mahaprabhu's mission, while we have to take care of our spiritual life, we also have to be concerned about distributing this Krishna consciousness to others to take care of their spiritual lives. So that was my point, actually. And yes, you know, like, you see, not that everybody will be ready to hear Krishna consciousness directly. So do it in a covert way, do it in a subtle way, that's fine. As long as, you know, your intention is actually to give Krishna to them, Krishna will reciprocate. Krishna will be pleased.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you. What's your name, Mataji?
Maharani Devi Dasi.
Oh, okay. Maharani Devi Dasi. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Well, thank you, Maharaj, so much for your association. There is about 20 devotees here today. I don't know how many devotees are there, but you're benefiting everybody by your shiksha.
Thank you so much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Jaya.
Jaya Srila Prabhupada.
Just trying to become a stick of dust at his lotus feet.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you. Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna, everyone.
There are quite a few.
Hari Bol.